thank you all for having me, for welcoming our family into this community. Man, what an incredible community to be a part of, and we're so thankful to be here. Hey, I'm gonna do a little something we do with our boys. Our boys will probably sit up straight right over here. I've got some football players that came and helped tonight, but it's kind of a I say something and you say it back. So I say, if you're listening, say I am. That was all right. Let's try it one more time. If you're listening now, say I am.
I am.
Good. Yeah, I might bring that to you from time to time. I'm going to try to. I'm not very good with doing two tasks at the same time. So I'm going to try to run this PowerPoint at the same time as I speak. I guess tonight, before I get started, one of the things that we do with our players every week is before we do any team activities, we want them to remember who they should put first in their lives, and that's the good Lord. And so we'll always ask one of our players to get a first things first. So if you don't mind, before I get started speaking, I'd love to just, I know we had a great invocation. I'd love to just give a first things first. Mainly you can pray for me before I get up here and speak. So if you don't mind, I'll pray really fast. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this community, Father. Father, for the purpose that we're here tonight, God. Father, for the Samaritan Counseling Center, God, that you'll just bless them, Lord, and Father, that they'll meet their goals tonight, God. And thank you for their purpose in this community, Lord. Father, we're just privileged to be here. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, I thought it'd be kind of cool, since my family's kind of new to town, and I know some of you have heard me speak from time to time. You hear me talk about the football team a lot, and kind of our philosophy and coaching, but I'd love to share with you just a little bit about myself, a little bit about my family. So I'm going to do that at this time. This is a picture of myself and my wife, Abigail. My beautiful wife is sitting right back there at Bob's table, table 14 there. I'm excited to have her tonight. Hey, she ironed my pants before I came here tonight. So without her, I am not standing here tonight. I can promise you. So make sure you get a chance to stop by and say hello to her after. We've got two little boys, Cole and Clay. If you notice, I tell our players, I give them nicknames. Cole was born when we were there at Beggs. 3 years ago, his nickname's Rooster. I'm a big John Wayne fan, so I figure if his nickname, you got a name like Rooster, boy, you're going to be tough. So that's my goal to make our boys tough. Abby let me decorate their room, or Cole's room, not long ago, and you know, what do you think, Teddy? Or maybe horses? Or, no, we have sports theme. Let's go sports theme. So she let me pick some pictures. I looked at, there were some pictures. There was one of Michael Jordan, you know, he was getting ready to dunk the ball from the free throw line there. And I thought, no, that's not what they need to look at. So she let me get a couple of pictures. One is of Brett Favre, and he's just muddy all over, and he's been tackled. And the other one is Nolan Ryan after he got in a fight at the pitcher's mound. It's not really your typical little boy's room, but I want Cole to know he's got, hey, you're going to be kind of husky and not very tall and not very fast. We got to be tough. So that is something he looks at every day. My son Clay was born in September 10th. I refer to that as week three of the football season, is when his birthday was. So I'm trying to get our players to call him Duke, which is another nickname for John Wayne. So I figure Rooster and Duke would be two pretty good solid names for boys. That'll make those boys tough. So if you all will help me carry on and get those nicknames started, I would really appreciate that. My hobbies, anybody, if you're a duck hunter here, I'm available in January. Would love to do that. I love duck hunting. This is a slide that we give to our players, and just to kind of let them know a little bit about me and our other coaches as well. I love horseback riding. This is my horse, picture of myself and my horse, Colonel. That's back before I had a beard. And I feel like the beard helps cover up some of that ugly on the face there. When Colonel sees me, this is a few years ago, when Colonel sees me now, he takes off going the other direction. I've gained about 60 pounds since this picture was taken. Football is a very stressful thing, coaching ball. So I'm a stress eater, and yeah, I assume I'll be having a few hamburgers this season as well. But family time is really important. It's really important to me and my family. Just a little bit about myself. My priorities, faith, family, and football. We tell our kids that all the time, that there's football is a distant third to the first two. That's why I'm very honored to be here and represent this organization tonight. Faith, we're going to excuse our players to go to things like church camp. If they have a family event, something important, that's more important than football. It is. And obviously football is third on that list. Here's one of my heroes, John Wayne. John Wayne said this. He said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. I'm scared to death right now, guys. I don't know if you know it, but John Wayne said, hey, saddle up anyways, and I'm proud to be on the stage, so forgive me if I said, hey, if you're listening, say I am. All right. That's excellent that time. Very nice. Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyways. I think that's very applicable to coaching football, to what our players do on Friday nights. It's scary running out there against another opponent and being in front of the crowd. And we ask our kids to do things that are tough and might feel uncomfortable. And I've been so proud of our players and the courage that they've displayed already this season. Jerry Rice is one of my great heroes. Growing up, I remember watching Jerry Rice and especially learning about Jerry Rice's story. It's incredible. I've shared this with our kids, but that quote at the bottom that he said, today I will do what others won't so that tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't. That's something that I literally say daily with our kids. Are you willing to do today what others aren't so that you can accomplish tomorrow what others can't? Jerry Rice, a little background on him. He grew up poor. He was one of eight children. His father was a brick mason growing up, so he went with his father and would do a lot of work in those different jobs. He was not offered a Division I scholarship out of high school. A lot of the Division I scouts said he didn't have the physical qualities to play Division I football, but that didn't stop him. He attended Mississippi Valley State University, where he became the all-time leading wide receiver at Mississippi Valley State, which was just a little bitty, little small school in his home state of Mississippi. Got invited to the NFL Combine after a good college career. He did work hard. Obviously, anybody that lives by that philosophy right there, today I will do what others won't so that tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't, they're gonna be successful. He had a good college career. He got invited to the NFL Combine. At the NFL Combine, he ran a 4.7140. I've got about four players on our team right now that run a faster time than 4.71 after our initial test. So we've got several players that were faster than one of the greatest NFL players of all time. Most people would argue is the greatest NFL player of all time. That's interesting to me. What was it about Jerry Rice if it wasn't physical attributes that made him one of the greatest of all time? Most NFL teams passed on him in the draft. He was considered one of those small school guys. But again, they didn't gauge what was in here, those NFL scouts. Today I will do what others won't so that tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't. You know, that's why I love this community so far. Just in our short time that we've been here, look at the room tonight. This is a community that's willing to do what other communities aren't. And the result of that are organizations like Samaritan Counseling. You're willing to do what other communities aren't in supporting this town, just in sitting here tonight, so that our future is taken care of and protected. And I'm so excited to be in a town, in a community that believes in things like that right there. Here's some of the things about Jerry Rice. I tell our kids he's rated the number one player of all time by NFL.com, 13 Pro Bowls, three-time Super Bowl champion. It goes on and on and on. All of the records that he broke, many consider him to be the greatest football player of all time. And it was a guy that originally people said, he's not big enough, he's not strong enough, he grew up poor, he's from too small of a school, he's not fast enough. However, Jerry Rice was willing to do things others won't so that he could accomplish things that others can't. That's a philosophy that we are taking to our team this year, that we want our players to buy into. We've got to be willing to do things that others won't. another hero of mine is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's very applicable to the game of football as well. We ask our players to do that all the time. You guys are doing that tonight in a way. Maybe not necessarily in laying down your life, but you're giving up your time. You're giving up some financial resources in order to love your friend, to love your neighbor. He said this, love others as much as you love yourself. That's one of our core values for our football team. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. When you see our players on Friday night putting their claws up, you might see that on Twitter as a hashtag. It means more than just claws. All of those letters in claws stands for something, and the L in that means love others as much as you love yourself. And that's something that Jesus said. My story, I kind of wanted to share a little bit about my story. I know that Samaritan Counseling, they help people overcome things. There are people in our community, maybe even people in the room tonight that have experienced things that are hard to understand, that are things that they've gone through that they need help with. I had a situation in my life that was a difficult situation, and I just want to kind of share that part about my story tonight. I grew up southeastern Oklahoma, small town, Spiro, Oklahoma. Spiro is a town. It's really similar to Dewey. It reminds me. Dewey kind of reminds me of Spiro in the size of the town. Grew up kind of a farm kid. My parents had a poultry farm. We had chicken houses, and I grew up understanding the importance of hard work. Also, I grew up understanding the importance of going to college. I thought, I'm going to college. I gotta get out of here. I can't do this forever. So that was a really big factor. But when you grow up in small town Oklahoma, and forgive me, all of my Pokes fans, but man, you want to be a Sooner. I grew up just telling. I would tell people as a child, one of these days, I'm going to play football for the OU Sooners. One of these days, I'm going to be a quarterback for the OU Sooners. I remember people would tell me, even as a young kid, your dad didn't even play football his senior year. Your dad's not very tall. He wasn't very athletic compared to some of the other men in the family. Your mom's family, they're alcoholics, and you know they're not nobody in that side's ever even gone to college. But you think you're going to go play quarterback for OU? You're crazy. You're not tall enough. You're not strong enough. You're not fast enough. You can't even throw the ball that well. Those were things that I got growing up on into high school as I grew. My senior year, I had a couple of small offers to some smaller universities, some Division II schools. OU was nowhere to be found. I had a decision to make. I sent some film. My dad actually sent it and to a gentleman named Merv Johnson. And Merv called and basically asked me to come up and invited me to walk on. And I just remember the first day walking through the doors at OU. There's a picture. This is let's see, number 8. There's me right here, number 8, and right here, number 28. That's Adrian Peterson. It's kind of a blurry picture, but through growing up in my childhood, man, they were right. I wasn't very fast. I wasn't very very strong. I didn't have the greatest arm. I wasn't the prototypical height of a quarterback. But one thing that was ingrained in me from an early age was that simple thought: today I'm going to do what others won't, so that tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't. And that was something that drove me as a young man, as a child through high school, even as I went to the University of Oklahoma. It didn't matter what people said. It didn't matter what people told me. It mattered what I had in my heart and what I believed about myself. And that work ethic, I really believed helped me to accomplish that feat. I had a great career at the University of Oklahoma. This is my sophomore year there at OU. Had a chance to go to a bowl game. My story took, man, I honestly was on the path. I thought. Lord, I'm here. One of these days, I'm gonna start for this team. I really, my goal is I'm gonna do what these other guys aren't willing to do. I'm gonna do these things so I can accomplish later on. And my story took an interesting turn after the Holiday Bowl in 2005. We won that game. It was against Oregon. I had an opportunity to go, but in 2000, right as soon as we got back in the 2005 Holiday Bowl, it was late December, I guess into early January of 2006. I like I said, I was from a small town. I came home, went, some friends called, hey, let's go horseback riding. So I decided to go horseback riding with some friends. I actually, they came over to our house. My family also, we had about 30 quarter horses at the time and grew up riding horses. And OSU fans, I think I told someone at our table, I'm wearing cowboy boots tonight. I'm small town. I probably would have fit in real good at Stillwater as well. But so we went horseback riding. Long story short, at the end of that day, my buddy was loading his horse in the horse trailer. The horse reared up on him. He had loaded his horse. He was inside of the trailer with the horse. Horse kind of reared up, lunged forward on him, pinned him up against the wall of the trailer. He hollered for me. He yelled my name and said, "Hey, I need you to grab this lead rope." So I ran over, reached in the horse trailer, pulled that horse's head back. I was still standing on the outside of the trailer. There was a strong gust of wind that slammed the trailer door shut, excuse me, and that noise just really freaked that horse out. He threw his head up as hard as he could. My index finger was caught up against a bar in the trailer, and it was eye level. And I remember as the horse really spooked, began to run out of the trailer, my finger was caught, and as the bone started to pop, I realized, man, I'm in a bad situation here. The first thing I thought was, there goes my dream. You know, Lord, why is this happening? What's going on right now? I reached in, I tried to grab the lead rope and pull the horse back in, but he was already panicked and spooked, and that horse ran out of that trailer. I'm going to show you guys a slide, and it does have a picture of my repaired finger. So if you're a little queasy after that fine dinner, you might not look. It's not terrible. Here's the slide, and it's a little darkened out anyways. But the doctors, they got me to the hospital. This is actually a picture of the trailer that it happened on. You can kind of see I was standing on the outside of the trailer. You can kind of see the bar that I was trying to wrap the lead rope around. But they actually sewed the finger back on. I told that doctor, sew it back together. I'm a quarterback. I've spent my whole life working towards this dream, and this is something that I've got to finish. After the surgery, after about 7 or 8 days, the finger had turned completely purple, and they had to go back in and remove my index finger. So there I was, just a 20-year-old young man. My whole dream, my whole goal had been to play football for the Sooners one day, and I had made it. I had accomplished that, and I had so many other plans. And all of a sudden, something that I wasn't expecting happened. Fortunately for me, through the help of my parents and pastors, my high school football coach, people that had encouraged me in that mentality of today I will do what others won't, so that tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't, I decided to start the process of relearning how to throw the football. So it took me about 3 years, it took me about 2 years to relearn how to throw. My third year, I had 1 year of eligibility left. I had my fifth year, my senior year, and I started looking around. I actually contacted a couple of Division II universities in Oklahoma and had a couple of closed doors there. I had a coach tell me, son, I'd get fired if I had a quarterback missing his index finger on his throwing hand on my staff. There was one school that was East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma, that gave me an opportunity. Coach said, I went in that day and I explained to Coach, I really want to finish what I started. I'm willing to do anything. I'm going to be a senior this year, and I just want to finish my career wearing a uniform. And Coach said, Lee, you feel like the Lord's put that on your heart, I'm not going to be the one to tell you no. So they allowed me to come in that day. There were already five quarterbacks on their roster, and I made six. So guess what string I was? Yeah, I was sixth string, and rightfully so. But they allowed me, they gave me an opportunity. I ended up going back, and that mentality was still there. Today, I'm going to do what other people won't, what others aren't willing to do, so that tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't. I had the spring semester. We went through spring football, and then the fall semester was the only eligibility that I had. I went through spring practice that year and got a few reps. You know, there were a lot of guys in front of me, and they had some good quarterbacks on campus. That summer, they had two football weightlifting hours that all players could go to. There was a 6 a.m. session and a 6 p.m. session. I always ask my kids, which one do you think I went to? Both. I went to both of them. I couldn't just go. I knew I couldn't just go to one and expect to accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish. After spring ball, I got another goal, another dream. I wanted to be a starter. I wanted to get playing time. I wanted to letter my senior year. So I went to both of those things. In between, I would throw some routes and work hard. If there was a net out there, sometimes I would get some receivers from the team to come out and help. But I worked as hard as I could that summer. And I believe I was willing to do things that other players on our team weren't, because I knew what I wanted to accomplish. I had a vision and a goal of what I wanted to do. Here's just a couple of pictures, not nearly as big of a scene as the University of Oklahoma was. But I was able, they called me the three-finger slinger. I started getting some reps, and I actually, by the time the fall came, I ended up working my way up, and I was the number two quarterback on the depth chart. At the third game of the season, the starter went out, and I had an opportunity to go in the game. And when you're preparing yourself to be successful, when you're working hard every single day, when you're doing things that others aren't, when your opportunity comes, most of the time you're going to be ready to take that. So I had an opportunity there. The story is really not about me. With the good Lord's help, with great people surrounding me, I had an opportunity to overcome something that was really devastating to a young man who had put his entire, all of his work in growing up into, and all of his dreams and goals growing up there. You know, sometimes in life, and this is an analogy that we use with our players, a football player, when he's on the field, can just see a few feet in front of him. And I think that it's really similar to life. When we're going through life, we can just see what's right in front of us right now. But the view from the press box is a little bit different. The coach in the press box, he can see the big picture. The coach in the press box is thinking two, maybe three moves down the field or ahead. And that view's a lot different. And I think that's like, it's the same way in our lives. Sometimes we don't understand what's happening at the time. And like I said, there may be some people in the room tonight struggling with what's happening. Why is this happening right now? Why is God doing this to me? Why am I being faced with these challenges? And it's so hard to not see what's right in front of us. But God sees the big picture. God's always thinking moves ahead. And that is something that's important to me. I believe that growing up and that the Lord going through those struggles, even though I didn't always understand at the time what was happening, He was looking ahead. And that leads me to my next slide. I believe that I'm here in Bartlesville today. I honestly a year ago wasn't expecting to be here, standing on this stage. We had a great team at Beggs. We played in the state championship a year ago. For a small school, for a 3A school, 24 seniors is a good team. We had 24 juniors last year that played in the state championship, and those kids are all seniors this year. I didn't have much of a reason to leave, and when this opportunity opened up and we prayed and asked the Lord if this might be the right thing, we felt like He called us to this community, and that's just been reaffirmed over and over again since we've been here. But some of the things that we do with our kids, I talked a lot about goals tonight, but I left something out that's really important. It's called purpose. We talk to our kids all the time about purpose. My goals are to win the first game. Our coaches, we sit down and we mark out our goals. We want to win the first game. We want to win the rivalry game. We want to win the district championship, make the playoffs, get hot in the playoffs, and win the state championship. And those goals are not going to change. They're going to be the same goals every year. And that's what we want to accomplish. But we're not going to define our success as coaches based on our ability to accomplish our goals. And that sounds crazy to some people. But again, I'm called to coach, and I know that the Lord sent us here. And He sent us here for a bigger purpose than just wins and losses. That's where what I believe purpose comes into play. What I believe purpose is again, your calling. Why has God placed me in this community? Why has God called us to this profession? Why are we in front of this group of kids? Our coaches every year are going to define that. For example, this year in our coaches meeting, we sat down and we decided our purpose for being here, the reason that God has called us to Bartlesville is very simple. Number one, love our kids and love each other. Number two, see our kids come to know Christ. Number three, help our kids succeed academically. Number four, we want every single one of our players, when they leave our program, to understand the value of having character and to know what it means to be a true leader. That's our purpose. If we can look at the season when it's over with, and we can say, you know what, we saw this happen. We saw this one happen. We had a kid come to know the Lord. Look at the character. Look at how much this young man's character improved. Regardless of what our goals were, we're going to see ourselves as successful. And that is what I believe in when I say I've been called to this community. I've been called to this profession. Hey, if you're listening, say I am. One of the little things that we do with our players each year, our kids have heard us say this all the time, but it's kind of, we've got a lot of little things like this, little hidden messages. But when we say that, yes, it's to get their attention, but for our coaching staff, it's for something even greater than that. John 6:35 said, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you're listening, say I am. My goal as a coach, our purpose as coaching staff, is that if our kids are listening to us, that they'll be pointed to I am, to the great I am. And that's something I think that when people go to Samaritan counseling, they have their problems, they don't understand, they're able to be pointed to a direction and pointed to see God's in the press box. You can just see a few feet in front of you, but God sees the big picture. And if they're listening, they're pointed to I am. I want to thank you guys for having me tonight to speak. Really am honored to be a part of this community. And again, thanks for having me.